Welcome to Life Church. We're starting our Advent series today. It's called A Christmas Miracle, and I'll be back with you in 60 seconds. All right, that was 60 seconds. See, I have this cool little nifty like stopwatch. I can start it and I can stop it. That was 60 seconds. Doesn't 60 seconds of silence feel like an eternity? Like we're staring at each other and we're like, what's going on right now? But 60 seconds, if you're having fun, like it goes flying by. 60 seconds of doing something fun goes quickly. 60 seconds of waiting feels like an eternity. Did you know that there are only 24 days left till Christmas? There are 24 days left till Christmas. That means there's 576 hours left until we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. 576 hours. That means there's only 34,560 minutes left. That's going to go quickly if you're having fun. 34,560 minutes left, and you just wasted one of those minutes in silence. You know, we can get so distracted by all of the crazy busyness that Christmas has, and our calendars just get full, that we miss the significance of what Christmas is about. As we begin our Advent celebration in our sermon series, I want us to remind ourselves of the significance of a moment in time. Have you ever stopped to consider how important a moment in time is? A moment in time? Like, there's a right time, there's a right moment to do something. For instance, you wouldn't go out and plant a tomato plant in November. You wouldn't paint the exterior of your house in January. You wouldn't go water skiing on the lake in February. Those are good things to do, but that's not the right time to do them in. There is a right time. There is a right moment. Right? There's a right time and a wrong time. For instance, like going on a diet between Thanksgiving and New Year's is not the right time to go on a diet. Think about the importance of timing. Think about the importance of timing in sports. If the timing is off, a quarterback won't connect with his receivers. Just ask the Dallas Cowboys about that. Right? Think about timing when it comes to sports. In basketball, if the player doesn't arrive at the spot at the right time, he'll be there before the ball gets there or he'll be there after the ball gets there. Have you ever missed a flight before because you got there a moment too late? Maybe you're driving to work and perhaps there's an accident on the highway and you missed an important meeting that you were supposed to be at. Moments, timing. One moment, 60 seconds of the right time at the right place can make all the difference in the world. So this year, our theme in our Advent series is called The Miracle of Christmas. And we're going to look at different miracles wrapped up in the Christmas story that we often perhaps overlook because we're so familiar with the Christmas story. What I'm praying for today and through this month of December is that we will see the story of Christmas and the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ with fresh eyes and a renewed passion and thankfulness for what Christ has done for us. So let me invite you to open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. If you have the Life Church app downloaded on your smartphone, you can follow along with all of our digital notes right there in the app as well. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, it's this incredible verse. Let's look at it together. It says, let's read this together out loud. You guys with me? It says, but when the fullness of time came. All right, pause for a second. That's what we're talking about today. The miracle of a moment. The fullness of time. Let's start over one more time out loud. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Let's pray together. Jesus, over the next few moments, I ask that it wouldn't necessarily be my words that we hear, but that it would be your words, your scripture, that would come alive in our spirits and in our hearts, and let us see the fingerprint of God all over this universe and our story of redemption that includes our name. For God so loved us, he gave his only son. Thank you for the miracle of Christmas. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. At just the right time, God sent his son. The miracle of a moment when the fullness of time, the right time had come. If you're taking notes, first of all, what I want you to write down is he came at the right moment. He came at the right moment. Have you ever seen the movie, The Miracle on 34th Street? Miracle on 34th Street is this wonderful, like, magical tale of an old man named Kris Kringle who believes he's Santa Claus, and he wants other people to believe in him as well. And there's this interesting parallel in the movie with the Christmas story that I don't want you to miss necessarily. There's this moment in the movie where Kris is trying to instruct, like, the department store Santa prior to the Thanksgiving Day parade. And I think we kind of have this picture, and he's right there, you know, in the parade. And so there's this scene that's going on right here. And you're probably so engrossed in the development of the plot that maybe you missed it. And if you missed it, don't feel bad, because I think the characters in a movie missed it as well. Here's the question. Was it by chance, or was it by luck, or was it by mere coincidence that Kris Kringle was there at the parade on that certain particular day? I don't know. I think that's what represents the miracle of the moment. At just the right time, Kris Kringle showed up at the parade and not only rescued the parade, but he rescued the jobs of Miss Walker and many, many, many other people. At just the right time. The Bible says when the fullness of time came. It doesn't say by the luck of chance, God said. It doesn't say that by mere coincidence. It says, but when the fullness of time came, God sent his son. But in reality, most people missed the miracle of that moment. They didn't recognize the significance of the birth of Jesus Christ. People were too busy to pay attention to a young teenage girl giving birth to her first child in a cold outdoor stable. They missed the moment. But at just the right time in history, Jesus was born. The coming of Christ into the world wasn't a matter of coincidence. It wasn't luck. It wasn't by mere chance. It was divinely orchestrated fullness of time at the right time. His coming was part of God's divine plan for what we call redemption, the saving of the lost, that the Bible says was planned in God's mind before the foundations of the earth were laid. Warren Wiersbe writes in his book, Be Free, he says it this way. Historians tell us that the Roman world was in great expectation, waiting for a deliverer at the time Jesus was born. He writes, he says, the old religions were dying, the old philosophies were empty and powerless to change men's lives, strange new mystery religions were invading the empire. Religious bankruptcy and spiritual hunger were everywhere. God was preparing the world for the arrival of his son at just the right moment. I think it's interesting from a historical perspective, the Roman Empire helped prepare the way for the birth of Jesus Christ. All the Old Testament prophecies concerning the coming of the Messiah were completed, and at just the right time, God sent his son. Check it out this way. God picked a time where there was a global language. Thanks to both like the Greek and the Roman conquest, Latin and Greek were known across the known world. They were the common language. They were the business language, making communication possible with people all over the world. At the birth of Christ, through the conquest of like Alexander the Great in the 4th century BC and the conquest of Greece by the Romans, Greek language and culture spread from India to Britain. So because of the one known global language, language barriers were broken down, and in one generation, catch this, in one generation, the world was reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ because God picked a time where there was a global language. Not only did God pick a time where there's a global language, God picked a time, the fullness of time, right? God picked a time where there was global access. The Romans constructed roads that connected city to city to city and harbor to harbor. That's why it said all roads ultimately lead to Rome, right? Because they had this Roman highway that connected everything. And without being able to move around that way, it would have been merely impossible for the early church to spread as quickly as it did. If you look at it in the sense of Paul, right? Paul and his missionary journeys, historians approximate that Paul probably traveled by land or by sea over 15,000 miles because the Romans had prepared the roadways for them. God picked a time where there was global access. God picked a time where there was global peace. The world was at peace under Roman rule. Roman law protected citizens, and Roman soldiers stood at guard to maintain peace in the land. The gospel spread faster when the world wasn't distracted by war or conquest. For nearly two centuries, until 180 AD, the world lay in peace, and the gospel message spread. God picked a time where there was global peace. God also picked a time, much like today, where there was global degeneration. Morally, the world was spiraling into moral decay. The streams of gold and riches and wealth, especially since the victory over Hannibal in 200 BC, flowed into the world's capitals, and it led to a lifestyle with such luxury that it ended up into vulgarity and moral state of decay. There was degeneration, lostness, sinfulness. But God also picked a time where there was a global expectancy. People were turning to new religions that were coming from the Orient and the remote East with large numbers that were gaining time, because when it says the fullness of time, when Paul writes the fullness of time, it also depicts a time where there's this religious expectancy, right? For so long, the philosophies of the Greek and the gods of the Romans had left people spiritually empty, that they were longing for something richer. They were longing for something more that would cause greater fulfillment. They were hungry for this global expectancy. There had to be more. So a world language with a global access and peace against the blackest of moral decaying backdrops and a new religious expectancy created the climate for the fullness of time. God picked a moment when there was global readiness. And at that moment, Christ appeared. Christ appeared. He came at the right moment. All of history changed at that moment. But not only did he come at the right moment, he provides at the right moment. Personally, you and me, he provides for us at the right moment. Think about it. So many of us, we end up just being content, going through the motions of the Christmas season. We endure busy activity. We have school parties, and we have work parties, and we have family parties, and we have gift exchanges, and we have celebrations to do and traditions to maintain, that we just kind of go through the muscle memory of the busyness of Christmas, forgetting what Christmas is all about, and we fall short of seeing what the miracle of Christmas is. And the good news is that Jesus comes to us at just the right time when we need him for the moment. Listen to some of these promises that we find in Scripture where we see the character of God reflected, that he comes to us at the right moment. Psalm, look at this. Psalm 145 says, "All eyes look at you, and you give them their food at the proper time." At the right moment, God will provide. If there's something that you're longing for, that you're needing, In God's will, at the right time, he'll provide. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 11. This is God's word. "I will provide rain for your land in the proper time, the autumn and spring rains, and you will harvest your grain and new wine and oil." God knows exactly what you're going through, and God knows exactly what you need. And at the right time, he'll provide for you. He's that kind of God who knows you, cares about you, and at the right time will provide for you. I was thinking about a story this week that happened to our family in the early days of Life Church. Some of you may have heard this story, and some of you may be new and haven't heard this story before. But in the first few years of Life Church didn't become what it is today. The first 2 years, we never really broke 30 people. And so We met, we had church, and there's about 30 of us. We had some Sundays where there's like more on the worship team than in the audience. And so that was kind of the first 2 years of Life Church. And I worked a job up in Dallas, and it was a commission job and 100% commission. I didn't know what that was when I signed up for it, and it didn't take me long to realize I'm a bad salesman. So I drove to North Dallas to a job that didn't pay me for like a year until I finally got my first commission check. But it was in that season of time that I'm working in Dallas at a job that's really not paying me. And Renee had an emergency surgery, and they kept her overnight for observation, and they were releasing her the next day. So that's the day. I'm driving to the hospital to pick up Renee. And that morning, I'd written the check and paid the mortgage on our house, and that left us with $28 in our checking account, like $28 to our name. Like, we had drained our savings into starting the church. And so I'm driving to church, and I don't know if you do this, but I was just being brutally honest with God and what I thought about the situation that we found ourselves in. So I'm like driving going, "God, this is hard. We said yes to you to start a new church, and I'm working a job that I don't get paid. The church doesn't grow past 30 people. Renee just had emergency surgery. We got $28 to our name. Like, if this is what we're signing up for when we said yes to starting a new church, I don't know if this is what I want to do. I could probably find something else to beat myself up with. Like, this is depressing. This is hard. I know I'm supposed to be a pastor full of faith, right? But if I'm honest with you guys, it was just really frustrating, really scary, really hard. And so I'm just driving telling God what I think. Like, no filter. Just, God, I'm upset. I'm disappointed. I'm hurting. And my phone rang, and I recognized the caller ID, so I answered the call, and it was a pastor friend of mine. And my pastor friend said, "Hey, how you doing?" So real quickly, forced a smile on my face. And I'm like, man, I'm doing great, never better. And he says, well, cool. He said, I just was thinking about you, and I want to do something for you. I'm like, yeah, sure. What do you want to do? He said, I don't know if this would mean anything to you or not, but I feel like I'm supposed to pay your mortgage this month. I'm like, dude, I just paid it this morning. It's like, okay, well, fine. Well, let me take care of next month. I didn't argue long on the phone and gave him my address, and he said, I'm signing a check. I'm putting it in the mail today. He hung up. I pulled my car into a parking lot, put it in park, and just started to cry. I was reminding myself that God knows exactly where I'm at. God knows exactly what I'm going through, and He'll provide at just the right time, because He's that kind of a God. He'll provide at just the right time. He provides what I need and what you need at just the right time. He provided for the nation of Israel when they're wandering around in the wilderness. He provided daily food for them. He provided water for them. God will provide at just the right time. He comes at just the right time. He didn't just come one time in history and that's it. He came one time in history and changed all of history and changed all of eternity. But He's a personal God that will walk with us, and He'll come at just the right time when we need Him the most. And when do I need Him the most? I need Him the most when I'm spiritually lost. Look at what Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, verse 6. In Romans 5, verse 6, he says, for while we were still helpless, when do I need a miracle from God? When I'm helpless? When do I need a miracle from God? When I've lost all hope? When do I need a miracle from God? When I can't do anything else? When do I need a miracle from God? When I'm out of resources? When do I need a miracle from God? When I hit rock bottom? When do I need a miracle from God? When I can't do anything else and I'm helpless? And when I am helpless, at just the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. The greatest need that I've ever had was my spiritual lostness. And when I couldn't do anything about it, when I couldn't save myself, when I couldn't be good enough, when I was at the end of my resources and I was at the end of my recourse, at just the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. And He has promised to come at just the right time for what you need in the moment. When we're truly helpless, Christ still comes today at just the right time. And not only does He provide at the right moment what we need, but He says, listen, He says, now is the right moment. Now is the right moment. It seems like we're always waiting for the right moment to start something, right? We're waiting for the right moment to start a diet, which that right moment for me never seems to come. We're waiting for the right moment to go to the gym. We're waiting for the right moment to start our new business. We're waiting for the right moment to make a spiritual commitment to Christ. We're waiting for the right moment to go to a growth track. We're waiting for the right moment to start to volunteer. We're waiting for the right moment to restore our marriage. We're waiting for the right moment to stop some bad habits. We're always waiting for the right moment that never seems to come. When 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he's says the right moment is right now. Check this out. At the acceptable time, I listened to you, and on the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now, everybody say now. Now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Right now is the right moment. Now is the right moment to make a commitment to Christ. Jesus said in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Now is the right time to make a commitment to Christ. Now is the right time to restore your commitment to Jesus Christ. Now is the right time to walk in close fellowship with God. Now is the time to make a personal commitment, not just a mom and dad commitment. Now is the right time to draw close to the Lord. One moment in time can determine an eternal destiny. And now is the right moment. Jesus is all you need for this exact moment. And that moment represents the miracle of Christmas. At just the right time, when everything was ready, God sent his son. And he provides everything you need. And right now is the right moment to make Jesus your own. I invite you to bow your head and close your eyes with me for just a moment. The miracle of a moment. This moment right now could change your eternity. What you do about Jesus Christ. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what your commitment level to Christ is. I don't know if you're passionately living in love with Jesus Christ and you have a surrendered heart, or if maybe you've just kind of gone through the motions. You show up, you play the church game, but your heart is the farthest thing from being in it. And today, God's not looking at the way you play the church game. He's looking at your heart. Is your heart surrendered? Is he truly the Lord of your heart, the ruler of your life? Maybe there's a time that he was, and maybe you've just pushed away from being close to God. Just busyness of life, busyness of job, busyness of family, busyness of hobbies, and just somehow you've just don't even know when it happened or where it happened. But you've gotten distracted and distant, and your faith has kind of grown a little calloused and cold. But there's something that's stirring in your spirit today, longing to know Jesus close like you once did. So I want to ask you a question today. If you're here and you've never surrendered your heart to Jesus Christ, or if you're here and life has just distracted you, and you realize you're not as close as you want to be with Jesus, would you just say, that's me, and I want to restore my fellowship, my closeness, my relationship with Christ? Or maybe I want to begin a journey of faith with Jesus, and I want to bow my heart. I want to remind myself of the miracle of a moment, that at just the right time, Jesus came. Jesus came and provided all that I needed, and right now is the right time to make Jesus my own. So I count to three. If you're here and you say, Jason, my life's not right with Christ, and I want to restore my heart in a close communion with him one more time. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? Are you ready? Jason, my life's not right with Christ, and today I want to restore my fellowship with him. One, two, three. Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else? All right, church family, let's pray this together. Let's pray this out loud. Would you pray with me? Dear Jesus, today I surrender my heart to you. I ask you to forgive me for my distractions, my sin, and my selfishness. I confess you to be my Lord and my Savior. I believe that Jesus came, he died on a cross, and he was resurrected. And today, he is my Lord. Help me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to look this way. If you made that commitment in your heart today, I want to celebrate with you and let you know you've made the greatest decision of your life. I'd love to have a chance to talk with you and pray with you as our service ends. In fact, some of our prayer team will be down front. If you're here at Life Church today and you have a need in your life, would you take a moment and join in prayer with one of our prayer team before you go? So together, let's believe that God can provide what you need at the right moment. Let me invite everybody to stand up with me. As we begin a new week, let me remind you one more time, as we go out, we have our angels on our angel tree representing children that we can be a blessing to through Manna House. and in our local community, and also down in the community of Venus. So stop by the angel tree, take a look at it. If you pick up an angel, remember there's instructions in your bulletin, and they'll talk to you out in the lobby as well. We need those back next Sunday. So you have 1 week. We'll need those back next Sunday in order to give them to Manor House to be distributed. If perhaps you'd like that to be a family event to pick the angel tree, I know my kids enjoy doing it, so we often will go get our kids from Children's Church and we'll bring them to the tree and we'll let our kids pick an angel off of the angel tree. But I believe God has blessed you to be a blessing. Do you believe that? Amen. God has blessed you to be a blessing. So let's be a blessing to somebody. And so take a moment and do that. And don't forget, Wednesday night, our ladies' cookie exchange, and Friday, our all-church volunteer Christmas party. We're going to have a great time. So busy week. Come and be a part of it. We look forward to joining together with you. Let's pray. Jesus, as we close up our service, we thank you that you came at just the right time. We thank you that you provided everything that we need. And we recognize that right now is the right moment to make Jesus our own. And not only do you care about our eternity, you care individually about each of us. So we come having a surrendered heart, and we come to you for what we need, knowing that you're the God that will provide. I ask that you'd bless each person, cause your face to shine upon us, lead us by your purpose and by your grace as we walk in step with your will. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great week. We look forward to seeing you in one of our life groups or Wednesday night and Friday night.